You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Aaron Firkenstead. I'm a pastor at our King of Grace Lutheran Church in Golden Valley, Minnesota, just the suburb to the west of Minneapolis. And I thank you for letting me be here with you this morning and to share this time in God's Word together. This morning, we're reading a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of our Lord's apostle. The center of our Christian Lutheran doctrine is the teaching of justification. But now I'm going to say something controversial in front of our seminary president and our former seminary president, my professor, something a little bit controversial. The center of our doctrine is justification. But it's not the center of our faith. And I'll explain that. Justification is the center of our doctrine, but it's not the center of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you can't see. It's a definition. Faith is equals sure, certain, trustworthy, confident in what you hope for. Well, what do you hope for? You hope for the future. Faith has to be about the future, what you hope for, what's still coming, the promises that are outstanding, that God has made and not yet fulfilled. Your faith is in the future. Justification is in the past. Justification has been accomplished. Justification is the center of our doctrine. It's on which everything else stands and falls. We get justification right, and it tells you how you are made right with God. Justification tells you that because of Jesus' perfect life, because of his death in your place, God declares you to be not guilty. Your sin has been taken away. You see, there's only a certain amount of sin. There's a finite number of people that are going to live in all of world history. It's a large number, but there's a certain number. And those finite number of people will do a finite amount of sin. But the blood of the Son of God is infinite. It is more than enough to have paid for every sin of every person, yours included. And it's already been done. Jesus said it is finished. When Jesus rose on Easter morning, it was God's declaration that he had accepted the payment for the sin. The infinite blood of the Son of God actually was more than enough to pay for all of our finite sins. Jesus was due a refund, so to speak, on Easter morning, and he rose from the dead. It's been accomplished. Your sin has been paid for. Justification is in the past. In a different sermon, St. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. How do you know that you are included, that your sins have been paid for? It's by your baptism. And you know that you've been justified. You don't hope for that. You're not wishing it could be true. It is true. It is done. Now, what are you hoping for? What you are hoping for is what Peter is writing about in this letter. Peter, in the second letter, knows he's about to die soon, and he wants his readers to have confidence, to have trust, to have faith in what he's been telling them all along. And what he's been telling them is that Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is going to return the second time. That is where your hope lies. That is your faith, your confidence, your trust in the promises of God, that promise will be fulfilled. Jesus will come back. That's what Peter wants his readers to know in this second letter. People will tell you your hope should be in all kinds of other things. Your hope should be in getting the right president in the United States. Your hope should be in the stock market and in your retirement savings. Your hope should be in getting the right job and meeting the right person and living in the right city. Your hope should be in the development and the improvement of human culture and technology and economics and progress. And all of these things eventually are going to save you, and this is where our hope lies. And it's all false. None of that is a promise. You might hope for it, but it's uncertain. It's not coming. Peter says what is coming, what's certain, is the return of Christ. And you want to know how I know? Because I saw it already. We read yesterday about the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were up on a mountain, and there Jesus revealed his divine glory. You know, at Christmas time, the shepherds saw a little baby in a manger. After Easter, the disciples saw Jesus. At the transfiguration, they saw the Son of God. They saw all the majesty and power of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Peter says, nothing can stop this guy. I saw what's under the hood. There's nothing that can ever get in the way of this guy fulfilling his promise of coming back to raise the dead, to raise you, to recreate the heavens and the earth, to display his glory throughout all of creation. Nothing can stop that. And so your hope, your confidence is well placed. Everything that God has ever promised through the Old Testament scriptures and given us in the New Testament, all of the prophecies of God are trustworthy because of this, because I saw his glory. God has made 100 promises. He's fulfilled 99 of them. And so you can be absolutely sure that last one, the one that's outstanding, the one in the future, the one we hope for, is true, is certain. And so we don't have to go through life wondering what's going to happen. Is it going to be okay? How's it all going to work out? We go through life through all the ups and downs, all the difficulties and the challenges and all the joys too, knowing that Christ is coming any minute. It's about to happen. And his glory will be revealed. And you will be delivered from evil. All the evils of body and soul and property and honor. All the troubles and circumstances of this life solved for you. Everything you've ever hoped for coming true. The great promises finally fulfilled. You can be sure. You can be certain because Peter saw it. Peter is sure about the future because he saw the glory of Christ. You're sure about the future. And so you will see the glory of Christ. A preview is certainly what Peter was granted a great blessing to see, but he will not be the only one. This glory, you will behold with your eyes in the flesh. Nothing can stop this guy. He will raise you from the dead. He will grant you peace and blessing forever. This is the core of our Christian faith. You have been declared righteous and not guilty. And therefore, when Christ returns, you will see him in glory. May the sure hope and confidence in Christ guard and keep your hearts and minds until that day. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given your holy writers the very words that you wanted them to say, that what they have written for us in the scriptures is what you want your people to hear. You want us to know that we are forgiven and reconciled to you through the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. You want us to know and be confident that he will come again. We ask now that your Holy Spirit would live in our hearts to increase our faith, our trust and confidence in you and in none other. We ask that your Spirit would guard and keep us until that day so that we might behold the glory of Christ with our own eyes. Amen. We'll sing verses number 4 and 5 of the hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Each academic year at this time, we pause to recognize those faculty and staff who are observing milestone anniversaries in service to Bethany Lutheran College and Seminary. It is my privilege and honor to do so this morning, and as we do, I also want to give a special welcome to family and friends who are here this morning for this special event. Being an employee at Bethany is much more than just a job. Whether faculty or staff, serving at Bethany is a calling into a vocation by God Himself. Thus, those who serve at Bethany are not only skilled in what they do, but are uniquely faithful to their vocation and dedicated in service to the Lord and to Bethany, whose purposes are filled in its very name, to engage students with the saving knowledge of Jesus and to prepare them for productive and fulfilling lives in their homes, churches, workplaces, and communities. This morning, we recognize 18 individuals who are observing milestone anniversaries this year of 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and 35 years of service to Bethany. Their combined service adds up to 370 cumulative years. We thank Jesus for their God-given gifts and service to the college. On behalf of the entire faculty and staff at Bethany, I am confident to state that we, as colleagues, are truly honored to serve beside them. This morning, the names of each honoree will be read, indicating their area and years of service. Chairman of the board, Reverend Mark Bartels, will assist in sharing with each individual our congratulations, as well as giving each honoree a certificate and honorarium. We ask that you will hold your applause until all have been recognized. Chairman Bartels. Please come forward as I read your name. Nicholas Cook, Director of International Partnerships, 10 years. Carrie Pfeiffer, Professor of Education, 10 years. Jean Pfeiffer, President, 10 years. Wanda Hall, Housekeeping Technician, 15 years. Emily Kimball, Assistant Professor of Theater, 15 years. Jacob Creer, Director of Alumni Relations, 15 years. Stacy Dolly, Director of Finance and Business Affairs, 20 years. Robert Hanna, Professor of English, 20 years. Patrick Hall, Director of Facilities, 20 years. Jennifer Kamm, Professor of Psychology, 20 years. She may not be joining with us this morning. So, Don Molstead, Director of Campus Spiritual Life, 20 years. Chad Hines, Associate Professor of Biology, 25 years. Daniel Mundell, Senior Vice President of Finance and Administration, 25 years. David Norris, Director of Visual Media, 25 years. Tiffany Young Clockseam, Professor of Health and Human Performance, 25 years. Mark DeGarmo, Professor of Languages, Chapel Organist, 30 years. Gina Molstead, Admissions Data Specialist, 30 years. And Lance Schwartz, Chief Communication Officer, 35 years. Thank you to all of you for your dedicated service, and may God continue to bless you. Have a wonderful day.